This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, there's no doubt that Toastmasters can turbocharge your communication and your leadership skills. But how do you effectively and efficiently showcase them, especially in places like your resume, or some people refer to them as your CV, or on your online profile? Our guest today will show us how. Who are we speaking to, Ryan?
We have a return guest today here on the Toastmasters podcast. Victoria Salem is joining us once again, not from Paris, France, where she was last time, but from Playa del Carmen, Mexico. Victoria Salem is a professional coach and networking expert. She helps individuals build stronger relationships and communicate better so they can enjoy more success and create new opportunities. Victoria is a former member of Covent Garden Speakers in London, England. Her article, Revamp Your Resume, How to Showcase the Skills and Achievements You've Gained Through Toastmasters, is featured in the August 2021 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Victoria Salem, welcome back to the Toastmasters podcast.
Hola, Victoria.
Hey, guys. Hello, Ryan. Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. I'm really pleased to be back on the podcast and really excited to share my top tips on how to display your Toastmaster skills you've gained on your online profiles, but also on your resume and a CV.
Fantastic. Well, let's jump right into it. Victoria, I think most Toastmasters would agree their Toastmasters involvement deserves a mention on their resume, on their online profile, but individuals might not know the best place to do it. I'd like to ask you, should we list our Toastmasters experience under personal development, volunteer experience, professional experience? What ideas can you share about this to help us consider these options and make the best choice for our situation?
Of course. Well, first, I would say that it's very key that you list the skills you've learned within your resume and online profile. Whether you put it, it's very personal. It really depends on your situation, the industry in which you work in, or you want to find a job, your level of experience, but also your involvement within Toastmaster. It really depends on yourself. But it's key to at least put it somewhere. For example, on my LinkedIn profile, I have put it under volunteer experience, and I've listed that I've had various roles within my Covent Garden Speakers Club. Also, if you have, for example, a gap in your professional experience, or you're looking to find a job as a public relation manager and you've had a public relation role within Toastmaster, then absolutely, why not putting it directly under your professional experience? If you do that, of course, you have to really consider what you're going to describe under the section, and you really have to make it relevant for the industry you're aiming to enter or the job you're aiming to find. Keywords are also very key for that description.
So you mentioned a number of things, and we're going to cover them, but I just keyed in on something that you had mentioned. You mentioned the word gap. Tell us what you were referring to with respect to that.
A gap in your professional experience. So let's say you've quit or left a job and it took you a little bit of time in between to find another one, or you're actually looking for a job, then it might be a good thing to add Toastmaster in there, because during that time you had off, maybe you developed your communication and presentation skills that would be very useful to you on your next professional journey. So in that instance, I think it could be a good thing to add your Toastmaster work and development within your professional experience.
That's a great idea, because I always know when you're getting interviewed, whether it's for a job or whether it's for a client, that's one thing that they always seem to key in on. They ask you, how come you've got a gap there? They're always asking that question because they're wondering what happened. So that's great advice.
Mm-hmm. And if I may add as well, maybe you can, during that interview process or when you meet someone, you can say, this was a gap that I wanted to do. I clearly understood that I was lacking some skills when it came to communication and presentation, and I understood how important it is in the professional world. So I decided to take a few months off to really focus on that. And Toastmaster really helped me boost up my skills.
Clever.
Just hearing you say that, I'm also thinking you can probably even say that in a way that maybe gives the impression it was intentional without coming right out and saying it. Like you could say, I ended up taking a few months off to work on these skills, as opposed to saying, I decided to quit this job specifically to do this. So it kind of, I think, finesses the message a little bit with the impression you want to give without having to come right out and fib, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Yes. That's very clever.
Another piece I'd like to focus in on for a moment, you also mentioned the skills that you develop. And I know quite often at the bottom of a resume, there'd be a list of skills. And on a LinkedIn profile, for example, there's a place to list your skills and competencies. I think we all know Toastmasters has helped us in lots of ways. And I also know you have some ideas about how to really focus in and identify the specific skills you've learned and gained through Toastmasters. So could you give our listeners some tips on how to really identify the competencies and choose the ones that will best serve our profiles?
I think in a similar way, on where to list your Toastmaster experience within your professional profiles, the skills which are most relevant to list would be the ones that are the most relevant to your own professional experience, and pick also on the keywords that are relevant for your industry. Having said that, for example, on your LinkedIn profile, you can add a lot of skills at the bottom part, but you also want to be listing a few of them within your achievement sections. One way to do it is to list all of the ones you think you've learned through Toastmaster and select three of them that you think are the most relevant for yourself, for your experience, and the ones that you can showcase through an example. We can really see and understand how a person can achieve or how a person can really perform through actual examples. So I would really stress that the skills you select, you can explain them through actual example within your Toastmaster journey. Within your resume, you're quite limited in terms of how much information you can put. So again, simply list a few of the skills. I will say pick three, and you can always develop a little bit more when you meet the person face to face. And think about which skills you can really explain through examples.
I'm just curious as to whether or not if we think about Toastmasters, of course, there are over 300 competencies. I mean, there's a plethora of competencies and there's certainly no shortage. Are there any that are uniquely specific to Toastmasters that you think would help an individual shine? Not saying, okay, we're going to pick this competency for this job or this competency for this client, but is there something that you think this is a real Toastmaster thing that people should really include on their resume or in their online profile?
Perhaps that translates to any industry, I think, is maybe where you're going with that.
Yeah, true.
Well, again, I think it really depends on what the person has been doing within their club, how much they were involved, but it could be something like organizational skills if someone has been a president for a year, because you have to really be organized to lead a club, to organize all the meetings, to make sure there is engagement. Could be networking skills, something I'm really keen about and I love, because at the end of the day, you have to show up to your club. I mean, you know, when we were meeting face-to-face and not online, but even online, you have to show that you're sociable, that you're willing to help, that you're being able to communicate with one another, that you're building contact. So networking can be one of those skills that are a little bit more unique maybe as well. New business development, why not? If you can prove that you've managed to bring X amount of new members within your club, that could be something useful if you're applying for a new business development role. Maybe it's something related to accounting and analytics, where you've managed to sort the cost of the club in a better way and managed to save more money or invest in some other bits that the club couldn't afford before because you've managed the finances a little bit better. Yeah, I think it's really essential that you understand what it is that you want to showcase to the people visiting your professional profiles or your resume. And those skills should be easily accessible for them, easily readable, and how can they benefit them directly or their company?
Yes, we certainly know that you're passionate about networking and building relationships. In fact, for those of you who may not, for those of you who may not have heard, back in December of 2020 on episode 170, we spoke with Victoria on building valuable relationships through social media.
Yes.
The other thing that just came to mind as you were speaking is for somebody who perhaps is earlier on in their career and they don't have some of the actual on-the-job experience, some of the things that you just mentioned about Toastmasters, those would just fill in absolutely nicely that could help differentiate an individual who perhaps might be just recently out of school, who doesn't have any other professional experience.
Yes, absolutely. I think being part of a Toastmaster club and wanting to improve your skills, communication skills, leadership skills, etc., it is very key when you start in the job market. And if you can showcase that you're already taking steps to really define and improve the skills, will really help in terms of finding the right job and impressing someone that will interview you.
Of course, the key will be to dissect all the roles and all the experience that you've had in Toastmasters, sort of create a whole series of puzzle pieces and then see where they can fit within your resume, within the context of the job you're applying for or the situation that you're in.
Yes, exactly. But that's also why I think selecting up to 3 skills and really being able to explain how you've mastered them through Toastmaster is key. An employer will not want you to list 15 different skills. If you can pick 3 that are relevant to the position, the job, or your experience, then that's really the most important. And if you can, explain them through actual examples.
That's great, because I was going to ask you how much is too much, and you really nailed it when you said pick 3, work on those.
3 is great, yeah. Okay. 3 is a key number. Magic number, I call it.
Yeah, the magic of the triad.
The triad, the trio, yeah.
Victoria, as you know, like most organizations, Toastmasters has its share of acronyms and insider jargon that may not translate to the outside world, at least without some further explanation. What do you think are the best approaches or best practices for handling inclusion of those words or terms or acronyms in a public-facing format like a resume or a LinkedIn profile?
For me, I would say that you should really consider everyone seeing or visiting your profiles as someone who has no clue about Toastmaster and has no clue about the jargon and acronyms that we may use. If within a paragraph you're going to use the word 3 times, then maybe you can use it for the second and the third time, but the first time it should be written in full letter. People might not understand, and I've seen profiles of people who are very, very, very technical in their field, and you can barely understand what they're talking about because they are using some codes that, unless you're within the industry or unless you're also part of this club or this organization, then you wouldn't understand. So really try to avoid them as much as possible. Speak a language that anyone not knowing Toastmaster can understand as well. That would be my advice.
That makes a lot of sense. So in your article, you made reference to some resources to help find the right verbiage or to find the proper definition for things, because sometimes in Toastmasters, we have an idea in our club as to what things are and what they mean, but sometimes we just don't know what the proper definition is or the official Toastmaster definition is.
Yes, absolutely. So there are a lot of different handbooks that you can use, the club leadership handbook, the district leadership handbook, but also I think the Toastmaster International website is really, really complete with a lot of different information, a lot of different definition, and you can use a lot of that. I will also have a look at some of the main Toastmasters leaders, president, district leaders, and see how they describe Toastmaster within their LinkedIn profile and utilize a little bit or copy a little bit what they do. Because they've probably research experience, and I think you can really use their experience to your advantage. Obviously not copy their skills and their description, but just utilize the way they are describing the Toastmaster experience within their own profile.
I think it's also important to remember to also take some of the Toastmasters terminology and definitions and making sure that we're able to translate it into, I guess, what Pat Johnson refers to in her book as corporate speak. She talks often about, as opposed to saying Toastmaster Club per se, you might want to say the Toastmasters program, making sure that you're using the verbiage that makes sense to the corporation.
Yes, it's a handbook for building and sustaining vibrant Toastmasters programs in corporations by former international president Pat Johnson.
Great.
Yeah, and in my description, I talk about some roles, but I don't describe the roles because anyone reading your profile might not understand exactly what a role might entail. It's better to explain what you did within this role as opposed to just title the role that someone might not know about.
Well, that segues into a question I was going to ask you anyway, Victoria. You mentioned using personal stories once you're in the interview process, but could you maybe give an example to get the wheels turning for us, to spark our imaginations of what might that look like? What could be a story that a Toastmaster could share in an interview to demonstrate a skill that they've learned or an accomplishment that they have achieved?
Of course. So in my personal case, well, if I come back to the networking and events organization, through one of my role at Toastmaster, I got to work on improving engagement within the different members. It was, of course, a weekly work, but mainly also through organizing events for the current members. And I held a big event for our club, but also involving some other clubs. So it was a Christmas party, and I had to involve event skills, but also my networking skills by going to the other Toastmaster club and getting everyone else involved as well for the social we were organizing. For someone else, for example, I had one lady who came to the club and she was in between jobs. She was looking for the next opportunity and she really wanted to improve her communication skills and her confidence on stage. And I must say for her, resilience was a skill she really demonstrated through week after week, because she was always there 15 minutes before the start of the meeting. She would always stay after and force herself to speak to different people, and you could really tell from her first speech to the last one how much she had improved and how much she had worked really on the structure of her speech, her confidence on stage, and she also took part of all the different workshops, and she could, for example, use that as an example of resilience, which is often a skill asked for specific jobs.
That's excellent. So she could perhaps touch upon it on her resume or her CV, and then if it comes up in the interview process, this is a perfect example that he or she could give.
Yeah, you could really tell the first time she went on stage, she was really, really shaking, and you could tell how much effort that was for her. And her at the end, when I left the club, was just very, very impressive. But you could really tell how much work she had put into mastering that skill.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm thinking now that people who are listening are now saying, okay, now I need to know what I need to do. And I maybe need to know what are some of the things that, let's just learn from Victoria's experience so that we don't mess up. So what are some of the do's and don'ts that, if you can share with us a few of those, please?
Yes, I think and that can be applied in many, many other aspects as well. When it comes to listing your skills, your Toastmaster skills on your professional profiles and resumes, I would say to keep it short and concise and to really focus on three key elements. You can always develop more when you actually meet the person face to face. Focus on the achievements. What have you actually done in a role? What have you actually done within your Toastmaster journey? To really focus on the achievements. Quantify as much as possible with numbers. I would say as well, don't hesitate to share regularly on all social media platforms. That will give you a lot of visibility when it comes to your Toastmaster experience. Be supportive to others' achievements and be positive in all the posts. So that's really more for LinkedIn. And don't hesitate to follow all relevant accounts, people, and have a look at how they describe their Toastmaster experience. Have a look at how they do it and use a similar format as well. When it comes to the don'ts, not as many as the do's. Try to avoid overshare and override. So it's come back to keeping it short and concise. You can give more details when meeting the person. You don't want to overload people reading your profiles with too much information. Keep it relevant to your professional path. So by adding too much, sometimes we lose really the main focus of our of the information we put on those profiles. So it's really important to think about the keywords that are relevant to your industry or your line of work, and make sure you don't come out of that circle of keywords, if I may say.
I like that you mentioned about sharing social media posts, because if there's an event that you were at or some place that you spoke at, the recruiter or potential individual that's interested in you could just go and look at it or listen to it, and they can say, oh, okay, so that's what he or she sounds like. That's a great idea.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to pick up on this topic of keywords that you've been mentioning. I understand that most companies today are now using AI software, artificial intelligence software, to scan resumes before they ever hit the desk of a HR recruiter or hiring manager. And sometimes good candidates get screened out if their resume doesn't have the right keywords or doesn't have the appropriate keyword density that the recruiter's looking for. Do you have any suggestions on how to optimize your resume for these algorithms with keywords?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And you're absolutely right. Some resume will not even touch the desk if they don't have the right keywords on it. Achievements is a keyword that you need to have on your resume. Then I think you really should look at the job description and have a look at which words they are using. And reusing those words are really important. I would think that you will have to sit down before you update your resume or your LinkedIn profile and really put down a series of 10 keywords that are absolutely key and relevant for the job you will be applying for and the industry you want to join, or simply just relevant for yourself and your career path, and make sure that those keywords appear on your profile in regular time. You don't want to repeat yourself, of course, but those keywords really need to appear at least once in all of your professional profiles.
That's fantastic. So, Victoria, you have provided us with a plethora of ways to really showcase our Toastmasters skills on your online profile and your CV and your resume. If people would like to get a hold of you and find out a little bit more about what you do, what's the best place for them to reach you at?
Yeah, a few different places. I don't know if there is one best place, but I'm quite active on LinkedIn. So if you want to add me directly on LinkedIn, send me a LinkedIn contact request. Otherwise, you can visit my website. I'm on tgncoaching.co.uk. Or you can directly email me info@tgncoaching.co.uk. So tgncoaching.co.uk.
Un gusto, Victoria. Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias, chicos. Thank you so much.
Hasta luego.
Hasta luego.
It's been fantastic, Victoria. And folks, if you found this episode valuable, please, please, please tell a friend. You can access the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, on the toastmasters.org website, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and most of your favorite players. Please make sure that you check out Victoria's article in the latest edition, the August 2021 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Victoria, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks to you. It was great. Always happy to be joining this great podcast.
Thanks, Victoria.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.